From the Opubco studios at Britain and Broadway, you're listening to a News OK podcast.
Hi, this is Brandi McDonald, entertainment writer with the Oklahoman and News OK. And this is our weekly entertainment podcast from the entertainment writers at the Oklahoman and News OK. I'm Brandi McDonald, and I have with me our intern, Nathan Poppy. We've got the movies opening this week in Oklahoma City. There's only two this week, which is an improvement over last week when there were like a million. But you got some interesting choices before you this week. You have an action-packed remake or an Eddie Murphy family comedy. Kicking it over to Nathan to talk about The Taking of Pelham 123.
The Taking of Pelham 123 is what I like to call a mistake on a train. I'm only giving this 1.5 out of 4 stars. And yeah, it's a remake of a 1974 film of the same name. The most interesting update that I saw in this movie was in the title, instead of spelling out 123, the 123 is in digital time. Blew my mind.
Wow.
Yeah, did not see that coming.
And I think the original movie had Walter Matthau in it, is that correct? And I think Robert Shaw, maybe?
Robert Shaw from Jaws, that's
yeah,
right.
That's a great combo right there. It's kind of a pretty revered movie. And the people who have a hold of it this time, I understand, are Tony Scott is the director, reuniting with Denzel Washington from Man on Fire, which is a movie I described as a movie that beat the crap out of me more than Denzel beat out of anybody in the movie. Because it's one of those... Tell me, did we do the great visual... I'm using quote marks you can't see. Visual of, here, hit you upside the head with this, and then this, and then this, and then this.
Yeah, Scott, the director, definitely has an interesting trademark. He seems to take everything that's potentially good in his movies and make it blurry. I don't know how he does that. You'll see a police car flip over about 38 times, and you're going to want to invest in some... some headache medicine of some sort, because you'll be dizzy by the end of this movie.
Excedrin and Dramamine are very important.
Please,
to see a Tony Scott movie.
Grab the whole box and take it with you. But the plot of this movie, it's not too difficult to follow. It's a normal day for Denzel Washington, who's filling in for the role of Walter Matthau. He plays another Walter Garber, and he's just sitting there. It's a normal day in the subway dispatch train center, and everything goes awry once he gets a call. Seems like the train, Pelham 123, has stopped. And all of a sudden, he gets a call from John Travolta, whose name in the movie is Ryder. And he, like every organized maniac, has a list of demands. He wants $10 million, which is much more inflated from the $1 million that they needed in the 1974 original.
I have $10 million on my maniac organization list.
They got bills to pay. We all do, apparently.
It.
And the two have banter back and forth, and they become forced acquaintances, and this carries a majority of the film. And I don't think this really works too well, because what happens is Denzel and Travolta are trying to, be put on the same level, that they're on the same playing field, and they're thinking the same, and they're kind of the same character, but that really doesn't work out. Travolta is disgusting. He has the worst handlebar mustache I've ever seen in my life. I'm going to never grow facial hair because of that. And Denzel, he's a good-hearted person, and I don't see how they could ever get on balanced playing field there. But the supporting cast does a pretty good job. John Turturro.
Always a welcome addition to a film.
He's pretty interesting. And James Gandolfini, who plays the greedy mayor of New York. They do an all right job and keep the film moving. But it really doesn't go anywhere like the stalled train with all the passengers in it. Just kind of sits there until the final act of the movie, which is completely different from the original. You're going to not see any similarities there, but it does sort of pick up in the last act, but by then your interest will be stalled.
You're tired of it, and I'm sure that if the last third of it is action-packed, that we found a way to make that blurry and slightly green.
Absolutely.
So that's because that's what they do these days. Now, so you don't recommend the new one. What do you think? Do you recommend the original one?
The original one, it's a little dated. You're going to see some stereotypical characters, some pimp hats that should have stayed in the 1974. Stay in 1974. Yeah, there's definitely some things that deserve to stay back there. But it's a little dated, but it's pretty interesting. What this new film misses on is the banter between all the hijackers. Now, John Travolta, he has a few men taking care of the train with him, and they do not talk. They were very much programmed. It's like he picked them up from the henchman store before he hopped onto the subway train.
Right next to the spy store in the mall.
Absolutely. And the banter between Robert Shaw and the other men in the original, that was interesting. That was what really kept the plot going, but that's all gone. But the first one's reliably entertaining. I still think it holds up.
So maybe a DVD rental if you're interested in trains this week.
You can actually check that out. It's on IMDb. You can watch the whole thing.
Wow. How about that? Can't beat that deal, and it beats getting a headache from Tony Scott, which is his main way of making movies these days. So don't even get me started on Domino. We won't even talk about it. So movie made me sick for a week. But I have Imagine That, which is the latest family-friendly comedy from Eddie Murphy, and surprisingly, I liked it a lot more than I expected to, because we've discussed this before, he does these sort of family-friendly PG fare has sort of been what he's doing for the last 10 years or so.
All the daddy daycare.
Daddy daycare. Last year was Meet Dave, which was terrible. And it's aimed squarely at kids who still, like, giggle at poop jokes and food fights and all that kind of stuff.
We're still waiting for the number of poop jokes that was in Daddy Daycare. I think NASA is still trying to calculate that.
Yeah, there's some high-level math involved there. But, they're at best mediocre and at worst, like Meet Dave, they're just cinematic disaster. So it's easy to kind of hear family-friendly comedy and Eddie Murphy and go, huh. I mean, particularly whenever you think about his groundbreaking, no-holds-barred comedian days back in the 80s, it's really easy to generalize old Eddie Murphy good, new Eddie Murphy bad, old Eddie Murphy hilarious, new Eddie Murphy insipid. But in this case, I imagine that was better than I expected. I'm not going to say it's terrific. I'm not going to say, hey, why don't you go see this instead of Up? If you haven't seen Up, go see Up. But if you are looking for a live-action, family-friendly movie, particularly if you have a daughter, imagine that might be up your alley. But what that is, because it's got a little bit of a kind of a clever premise and a creative way of going about doing this. But Eddie Murphy plays Evan Danielson. He's a workaholic financial advisor who is already estranged from his wife, and he really can't or won't connect with his 7-year-old daughter Olivia, who's played by Yara Shahidi, who is just, she sparkles. I mean, she gets on screen and she's just sparkly, wonderfully
magical
charming. I mean, she's
child.
A great little girl.
Okay.
And he just doesn't get her. I mean, he just doesn't get his daughter. I mean, she still has a security blanket that she calls the Guga, and she spends most of her time sort of communing with these imaginary friends, and he doesn't understand her, so he just ignores her. I mean, that's kind of he's paying attention to his job anyway, and so he just kind of ignores her. But she comes to stay with him for a week, and Evan starts out neglecting her until she spouts out some spot-on stock tips.
Hmm.
And he wants to know how she came by this information that was so so canny and so useful to him at work. And she claims that the pretend princesses in her fantasy world pass these uncanny business insights.
Who doesn't have princesses to help them out with their business
but
deals?
But his boss, who's played by Ronnie Cox, who you'll recognize as Bogomil from the old Beverly Hills Cop days. He's his boss. He's retiring, and Evan is vying for the top job, but his main competition is Johnny Whitefeather, who's who's hilariously played by Thomas Hayden Church. He's allegedly an American Indian sort of financial wizard who's he's got all this fake mysticism that doesn't quite cover the fact that he's just a ruthless competitor. But he's the type of guy who wears Western suits accented with feathers, and he goes around encouraging clients in business meetings to call, like, brother crow with me kind of thing. So, but he's really just a dirty, no good, hyper-competitive individual. But in the hopes of getting ahead, Evan talks his daughter into letting him into her secret world, giving her access to these princesses so he can get their great stock tips. And but this involves quite a bit of
buffoonery, if you will.
Not too much, not over the top, but quite a bit of playfulness, let's say, including sort of dashing through imaginary caves and singing for an imaginary cranky dragon and dancing right out in public, no less, to entertain the queen of this fantasy land. And soon he and his daughter are cooking pancakes together, and he's helping her rehearse for the school musical. But Olivia can't help but wonder if her dad really wants to spend time with her, or whether he really is just using her in his endless quest to advance his career. So Terry Kirkpatrick is the director on this. He's directed Over the Hedge, an animated film from 2006. And this is the first live-action film for him. And Ed Solomon and Chris Matheson, who wrote Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, are the writers here. And but they do something that's pretty smart that really sets the movie apart. They do not use CGI. They do not any of that kind of stuff to show us Olivia's fantasy land. Instead, you view it the same way her dad views it, which is it's imaginary. You don't see anything. You have to navigate through this child's imagination just like her dad's doing.
Okay, so you have to use your imagination to kind of play along with everything that she sees.
It's very easy to see how this could be one of those sort of fantasy land CGI debacles.
Something where they just throw $100 million
worth of computer graphics here.
Towers and dragons.
Yeah, here's the tower, here's the dragon, here's France. You jump from France to the magic cave, you know, kind of thing. But they don't do that.
They took the high road this time.
It really sets it apart. I mean, it really makes it pretty interesting because you really see everything that this dad is doing to try to understand his daughter better, even if he starts out with selfish motives. Disappointingly, you eventually get into some pretty familiar territory. I mean, it comes down to him facing this sort of cliched choice of attending Olivia's play or going to the big make or break my career business meeting. You know, that kind of thing that we've seen on every episode of sitcomery that's out there. So, but along the way, it's actually a pretty, fairly entertaining movie. I mean, Thomas Hayden Church really does a good job of playing that role that could just be a stereotypical disaster. But I mean, he's so funny and he plays it so straight. And the guy is so obviously just a jackass. it's fun to watch him. And Eddie Murphy and Lily Yara Shahidi have just a really wonderful, warm chemistry. But the good thing about it is Murphy. I mean, he really, this sort of plays to some of his strengths. I mean, he gets to sing, he gets to dance, he gets to be funny, but it's a little more of a straight man role whenever he's around Thomas Hayden Church, and whenever he's with the little girl, he doesn't get real out of hand or over the top. Even his freakouts a couple times are not too terribly obnoxious, and that's been his tendency in the past.
So he holds back a little bit on this
one. So it's a little restraint. I mean, a little restraint goes a long way in this film. It's not a terrific film. I gave it 2.5 stars, but certainly more entertaining than I expected, maybe feared going into it. So, like I said, if you've already seen Up, you have a daughter, it'd be a great father-daughter movie to go and see. So those are your choices. You can get a headache with Tony Scott, or you could give Eddie Murphy another chance. But that's the two movies we have for this week. Or you can watch Pelham 123 on IMDb, I guess the old one. But for Nathan Poppy, I'm Brandy McDonald, and thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.